All right, so we're going to look at the third seal. The third seal that is opened out of the seven, and that is the black horse, or famine. Revelation chapter 6, going back to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, it says, he opened a third seal, and I heard, and the third living creature said, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. What does this mean? Why a scale in his hand? And what does it mean by putting the cost of wheat or the cost of barley? Spottiswoode's Bible commentary explains, it says, this amount of money suggests that food prices are going to be about 12 times higher than they normally would. And it implies inflation and following inflation, famine conditions. So the black horse is famine. And Spottiswoode is correct. Because as it's talking about food prices escalating and the inability to get food where is necessary will cause famine on the earth. We have seen quickly how food prices can raise with a pandemic around the U.S. Toilet paper prices going through the roof. It is amazing if you go online and try to look for toilet paper, especially if you go to eBay, because you get all kinds of sellers who hoarded, stockpiled, and now they've got this toilet paper. I actually just for kicks went on to eBay and looked at toilet paper, and there was a 36-pack of toilet paper. 32 people had bid on it, and the bid price was up to $700 for 36 rolls of toilet paper. And I thought either people are considering this a joke and they just want to win and say, I paid $700 for toilet paper. But there were 32 people bidding on it. The prices of things have gone much higher. Over the last couple of weeks, we see the price of gas going down because people filled up because they wanted a full tank to make sure they had what they needed. And now gas prices have dropped. Seeing from family and friends who live in Missouri and Oklahoma, 96 cents a gallon. And I think even one other place was even less than that. But of course, people don't have a place to put it. Their tanks are full and nobody's driving anywhere. Like some of the comments that have been on Facebook, I'm getting 3 or 4 weeks to the gallon because we're just staying at home, not going anywhere. But we have seen how prices of things have gone up. After Days of Unleavened Bread, now that the Days of Unleavened Bread have ended, I ordered from Amazon some baking powder, baking soda, and I looked at yeast. And yeast, because people are now flour, yeast, anything for baking at home, they've got the time to do it. They can't find bread in the stores, and so they're making their own breads. But yeast is a rarity, and because it's a rarity, it's very hard to find. And usually when I buy yeast, I don't buy the little packets of yeast. I buy a 1 pound or a 2 pound bag of yeast. And 1 pound bag of yeast that normally costs $6 to $8 this week on Amazon was $20 to $40 for a pound, and some places it was $45 for a pound. But then some of them had another $15 to $20 shipping cost on top of it. So we see the prices of things and how quickly prices can get out of hand. Well, that's what is being talked about here in Revelation when it talks about the prices of things. And as Expositor's Bible Commentary brought out, food prices being 12 times higher than normal. Let's go to look at some promises and some prophecies of what was given to the children of Israel in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. We can't think, well, all of this is just something new, or none of this has anything to do with prophecy or with history. We have to realize God said and told people what was going to happen. And that's why he tells us today, watch, be aware, be alert. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither carved images or sacred pillar. You shall and shall rear up your head for yourselves. You shall not set up an engraved stone in your land, nor bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths, plural. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments to perform them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall yield their fruit. He said, I want to bless you in the land that I've promised to you. Your threshing shall last till the time of the vintage. The vintage shall last till the time of the sowing. And then you shall eat bread to the full and dwell in your land in safety. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. And I will rid the land of evil beast, and the sword will not go through your land. There's some pretty good promises there. If you keep my statutes, if you keep my Sabbaths, it's not because of mankind that we have the blessings that we do today. But it's not mankind that is being neglected by God when things begin to happen to man. And individuals will sometimes say, well, where is God in all this? How could God allow this to happen? It is choices. It's because of man rejecting God. It is because of individuals making their choices to walk away from what God commanded them to do. Verse 14, he says, but if you do not obey me, and you do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all of my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you. We've seen this for the last couple of decades. He says, I will appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all of this, if you do not obey me, after all of that, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor its trees in the land yield their fruit. Then, if you walk contrary to me, if after seven times worse, then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in numbers, and your highways shall be desolate. Today, I was watching something. I saw it on the news, and I think I also saw it on Facebook, or maybe it was yesterday that I saw it. It says here, I will send wild beast among you, and I'll give a couple of examples later too. But it was showing over in Africa, of course their highways aren't quite like the highways we have here, but it was a main thoroughfare, a paved road, and lions are laying all over the road where they're not normally at because traffic has stopped, people are locked in like they are here in certain parts of Africa, and the lions were just taking over and laying in the roads. And as it says here, your highways will be desolate. Some of our highways here in California have been easy to travel on. People don't have the same commute like they used to. And I'll talk about animals, how animals are now coming back into the cities and coming into places where they're not before because you don't have human traffic there. From the United Nations News, this is December 31st, so just 4 months ago, the last day of December. Sub-Saharan Africa faces grave hunger challenges in 2020. We have always heard, and I remember even as a child myself, hearing about Africa and starvation that was taking place. And again, I think that seal had been opened already. Here in the United Nations news or UN news, in some countries we are seeing conflict and instability combined with climate extremes that force people from their homes, farms, and places of work. In others, climate shock are occurring among economic collapse, leaving millions on the brink of destitution and hunger. January 18th, 3 weeks later, or not even quite 3 weeks later, UN warns hunger crisis in southern Africa is on a scale we have never seen before. A record 45 million across southern Africa are in need of urgent need of food, aid, and the UN says the situation is expected to get worse as the annual cyclone season begins. 45 million across southern Africa who don't have food. And then the last part of that, it says the UN runs out of food reserves in Zimbabwe. There's certain areas that it's not famine because there's no food to get to them, but they ran out of the reserves and no way to get food to individuals. That was in South Africa. From foreign policy news, this is February 26th, so this is just 2 months ago. Top U.S. aid chief warns locust devastation in East Africa. So we were looking at just South Africa. This is in East Africa. According to National Geographic, and we just came through the Days of Unleavened Bread, we came through looking again at the stories of what took place in the Exodus. And we know that locusts came into the land. According to National Geographic, there could be 80 million locusts in one swarm. 80 million. And I point that out for a reason. Because what I'm reading here, in continuation, this is still from the Foreign Policy News. It says, the tiny pests are a ticking humanitarian time bomb, fueling food insecurity with the potential to exacerbate pre-existing conflicts in already precarious region. Locust swarms have been tracked in northeastern Kenya as large as 926.6 square miles. 926.6 square miles of locusts. It says it is an estimated 192 billion locusts. So National Geographic says in a swarm of locusts, in what we call infestation or swarm of locusts, there's 80 million. What's taking place now in East Africa is 192 billion locusts. Some swarms can consume as much food as 35,000 people could eat in a single day. And with the right wind, they travel up to 100 miles per day, moving at that pace and devouring everything in their sight. Are things changing more quickly? Again, I mentioned as a child, I remember hearing, you know, you need to eat everything on your plate. There's people starving in Africa. That was happening when I was a child. But are things progressing? Are they getting worse? Never in history, to my knowledge, have there been locusts to the point of what we are seeing today. And they said, this is just phenomenal. Are things growing to unprecedented numbers? Can't even get a lot of things on the news or things that are taking place around the world. Try to find news on something and it's hard to find because of what's taking place with COVID-19, all the local news stories, all the national news stories. But with cyclones, earthquakes, tornadoes, we've had a lot of things, devastating things that are taking place on the earth. And things are continuing to grow. It's estimated that 115 million people on the brink of starvation today worldwide. Already 115 million people. So it's not hard to see, as we did in Ezekiel, one-third of the earth's population dying from disease and pestilence. Those two together, taking out a third. Yet still there's a fourth seal and a fourth horseman that's to ride. And as now we're to the point where we came in this morning, and I appreciate and I like the fact that we can tie these together. because there is information that was given that is good information and things that we need to know. And I thought, well, he's covering a lot of what I wanted to cover, but he only focused on the fourth horse, the pale horse. And that's what I want to cover now, because it's not that we're waiting on the final horses of the four or the first four seals to be opened. We realize they already have been opened. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7. It says there's going to be pestilence. We read that in Matthew chapter 24. The pestilence is going to be on the earth. This is the pale horse. Revelation 6 and verse 7, it says, "When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice from the four living creatures saying, 'Come and see.' And so I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed it. The power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the field." Now we saw in Matthew chapter 24, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Let me interject here a little bit about earthquakes. I'm not a fanatic that finds things in prophecy and just get all excited or freaked out or think that I figured out things in prophecy. But ever since I was a teenager, actually, I'll go back even further than that. When I was a young boy and hearing these things, and I was sitting in church and I'm reading that, and when I read it, I said, earthquakes in divers places. I thought, it's in the deep, it's in the oceans. And then I started looking and searching. And I was like, but of course, back then we didn't have internet. You had to go to the library. And I thought, man, there's an earthquake going on under the water we don't even know about. And then I realized, oh, that's a different word. It means diverse. It means various different places. But I have been watching earthquakes, and not fanatically, not as somebody who's just taking it over the limit. But I am interested in watching what's taking place and what goes on. And again, there's a lot of information you can find. And today, sadly, there's a lot of things that are going on around the world that you don't get news on. I do follow the major earthquakes and what happens. And I follow and look at and just try to get information on earthquakes that are happening in diverse places, various places, places that don't normally have earthquakes. For instance, March 16th of this year, March 16th, so just 4 weeks ago, five earthquakes rattled the Carolinas and Tennessee. Now you think, wait a minute, what fault line runs through the Carolinas and Tennessee? The highest was only 2.4, but people in that area, I know a lot of people, and I've got friends that say, I would never live in California because you guys have earthquakes. And I would say, I grew up in the Midwest, you guys have tornadoes. You have different things in different places. In the Midwest, you don't have hurricanes, but you have tornadoes. It depends on where you live, what natural disaster is in your areas or apt to be in the areas. But to think of earthquakes in Carolinas and Tennessee. April 1st, so we're talking just 2 weeks ago, magnitude 6.6 earthquake hit Idaho. 6.6, that's a pretty good size quake. 6 days prior to that, USA Today, so this is 3 weeks ago, reported a 5.0 magnitude earthquake rattling West Texas. 5.0 rattling West Texas. The vibration of it, it says, felt like a train, but only much bigger. If you've ever been near a train, when it goes by, it starts shaking the ground, and you hear the noise. It says, like a vibration of a train, only much bigger. 5.0 in West Texas. Newsweek, April 17th, tells us that Utah had been hit by over 700 earthquakes since the magnitude 5.7 that happened March 18th. So it happened just a little less than 4 weeks ago, 5.7 just outside Salt Lake City. But since that time, 700 quakes. Now, every day, people might look at that and say, wow, that's 700 quakes. The earth has quakes every single day. And if you do ever go on there, I wouldn't be shocked if you see earthquakes that have happened all around the world, because they happen all around the world on a regular basis. And sometimes quite frequently, especially if you have an earthquake that takes place, there's going to be foreshocks, the major quake, and aftershocks. And so here they had that 5.7, but including all of that, over 700 earthquakes since March 18th. And my purpose in mentioning these is not to create fear of earthquakes. I'm not afraid of the earthquakes that are going to take place on the earth. Maybe I should be afraid, but in a right way, prepared. And as we heard today, there's a certain thing that you can do to prepare. I do have a first aid kit in both my vehicles. I have bottled water in a vehicle in case I'm out somewhere and there's an earthquake. I have at least a water to get by. An earthquake preparedness kit many people have in their homes. If there's an earthquake, something that they can get to if they need it. But it's not to create fear of earthquakes. Earthquakes are happening. But what's interesting is seeing the increase in earthquakes and the increase in places that don't normally have earthquakes, the frequency of how often they're happening and happening in those various places around the world. All right, back to the pale horse. We see several different descriptions of what will happen, but I want to, again, look at this word pale as was described to us. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance says this word is chloros, as was brought out if you think of chlorophyll. I have taken chlorophyll. You have the green liquid, and you think, why would I put that in something? It actually is not bad in water. Chloroform is quite different, but chlorophyll is derived from this word meaning green. It means pale green, the color of disease. And again, in the original Greek, it was written that way. Another translation says it is a sickly pale horse. International Standard Version says, I looked and there was a pale green horse. Philip translation says, I looked and there is a horse sickly green. If we went out today and went for a walk and a horse walks up and it's sickly looking and it's all green, you probably wouldn't go over and try to pet it. It's something where you go, this is sick. This is something that is not doing well. And it said, death sat on it and hell and the grave followed after it. Pestilence will usually follow famine. But what these individuals, they'll all be reigning at the same time. And as we can't think, well, one has to end. Oh, great, war's over. A war ended, so let's look for something else. You realize all of these are building up. It's coming to a crescendo of what's going to happen at the end of the age. And God doesn't allow destruction for no reason whatsoever. Mankind has chosen to go his own way. Mankind has rejected God, rejected the Sabbath, rejected his commandments and his laws, just as I read in Leviticus, and it said, this is what's going to happen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in verse 15. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. We see something very similar to what we read. It says, but it shall come to pass that if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all of his commandments and statutes which I command you this day, that all of these curses will come upon you and will overtake you. Going down to verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to you, until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. This word that we read here, he'll make the pestilence, that's the King James Version, will make pestilence cleave to you. The New King James Version says, I will make the plague cleave to you. Modern King James Version says, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with hemorrhoids and with scabs and itches in which you cannot be healed. The Lord shall strike you with madness and blindness and the astonishment of heart. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and this time we'll pick up in verse 8. Verse 8, it says, power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. It's another story, having grown up in the church. I came into the church when I was 4 years old. Being told wild animals are going to come in from outside and they're going to start just taking people away. They're going to kill people at the end of the age. That's why you don't want to be a part of what's going to happen at the end of the age. But it says you're going to be killed with the beast of the earth. And again, it was covered quite clearly this morning, different and various ways that beasts can and have killed individuals. Barnes notes, says this too would be one of the consequences of war, famine, and pestilence. Animals coming into the cities is a result of war, famine, and pestilence. Lands would be depopulated and wild beasts would be multiplied. And again, I mentioned the lions being in the street. Not in city streets, but out on a highway. And of course, that is in Africa. And you say, well, that's typical. Nobody's driving by there, or a few people driving by, so they're taking advantage of just laying out in the road. With COVID-19 and people finally beginning to follow the stay at home, where they have been quite a few less people out on the roads today, animals are coming into the cities. Watching various things taking place, they showed a high school football field inside a town covered with elk as the elk came in and laid in the football field. Something they say hasn't happened in decades because of the population, because people around all the time. But now with everybody in their homes, these elk just came down and thought, that looks like a great place to go lay down. Nice green field and laying out on a football field. Another video I watched, or a photo of a mountain lion in front of an emergency room. There was a hospital, and in the emergency exit shows this mountain lion walking by, looking into the windows. Some commentaries say that animals will attack man for food because there's a lack of food, because there's famine, that animals are going to attack because they're hungry. It's also believed that diseases from animals are going to kill many, as was discussed. According to Science Daily, disease is responsible for the loss of frogs, insects, and in cases, extinction of some species. We're losing honeybees on a regular basis, and I've heard that for 10 years. But they're saying, if we continue at the rate we are, we're not going to have honeybees, which cuts out honey, cuts out cross-pollination, and can bring famine and pestilence. Humanitarian News and Analysis says changes in farming and marketing systems have led more and more to pathogens being present in society and human beings that have never been previously exposed to. So things are happening in what mankind has done in his rejection of God and his laws, the laws of the land, the laws of working the land, and now there's certain things that we're exposed to that we never had exposure to before. And again, it's a culmination of things coming together. Looking back at 1918, the multiple millions who died in what was called the Spanish flu. 40 million people died, or supposedly died, during the Spanish flu. 40 million. We look at today's and the number of deaths, and it is sad to see what has taken place around the world. And some places like Italy hit harder than other places. The human lives that were lost. But again, we've had things like this happen in history, happen in the past, but we're going to see them progressively and sadly get worse. How long will mankind continue to reject God? Because he says, if after all these things come upon you, you still don't repent or you still don't change, then more is going to come. And we see that through the prophecies of Revelation chapter 6 and Matthew 24. It will get worse. Other diseases from animals, as was mentioned, is a bubonic plague, rabies, and other things that can also play and have an effect. We're not told what pestilences are going to come, but we are warned about the coming. And we are warned that they're going to get worse and worse at the end of the age. None of these examples even take into account the threat of biological weapons, of what that can do to mankind, what it can do to food. When this pandemic started, people started to hoard bottled water. Toilet paper was the main thing, hand sanitizer. And in fact, I was looking at sanitizer wipes. Like we pull out the baby wipes, it's hand sanitizer wipes. And one tube of 60-count hand sanitizer wipes was $20 on Amazon. And I thought, that's pretty ridiculous to see prices that exorbitant, but people can't find it anywhere. And people are willing to pay that because they think, if I have hand sanitizer, I'm protected. But people also went after bottled water. Many people laughed and they said, well, the faucets still work, the toilets still flush, and they're hoarding bottled water, but they just saw other people buying water or thought water is one of those things you need, and so they started hoarding bottled water. And we still have water. We shouldn't take that for granted. But I want to read from charitywater.com. Water changes everything. Education, health, and poverty. Over 1 billion people live without clean drinking water every day. When water becomes contaminated or water begins to carry diseases, things spread very rapidly. What will happen during the Great Tribulation when there's 3.5 years of all of this coming to an even higher point than we have ever seen in the history of mankind? The world is on a very frail stage, a very frail position. But God does provide a way of escape for mankind. He said in Matthew 24, unless those days should be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God will protect mankind from total destruction. And he also says that he will protect individuals and that there will be people who are protected during that 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Revelation 12 and in verse 12. Says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and those tabernacling in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has a short time. Not only do we see the results of mankind, what his rejection of God has brought, and what his treatment of the earth has brought upon himself, but we also see that Satan has come in having great wrath, knowing that the time has been shortened. Verse 13, it says, the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, and he persecuted the woman who bore the man-child. Verse 14, two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman, to the church, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for times, times, and a half times from the serpent's face. So woman is a symbol of the church, just as the woman who rides the beast is symbolic of a church. Religion. But this church is given protection. And where is that protection? If the world is in destruction and we see 1/4 of mankind be affected by this, 1/3 killed by war, 1/3 killed by pestilence and disease, where in the world is a place of protection? Some like to think, well, it's going to be Hawaii because it's an island and nobody can get to it. I personally don't think it's Hawaii for multiple reasons. That God will protect his people in Hawaii, and while the earth is in destruction, we'll be on the beach with coconuts and enjoying some sunshine. Don't think it's going to be that way. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 said, the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that he might nourish her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. So God says he's going to take her into the wilderness. She will be nourished, meaning she's going to have, the church will have protection and will have sustenance. God has protected his people before. And when we look at this word where it says she will flee into the wilderness, again, it's not going to be wilderness. Well, okay, well, maybe it's not Hawaii. Maybe it's the Rockies. Maybe it's the Rocky Mountains. We get to flee into the Rockies, just go off by ourselves. The original word in the Greek says this word is desert, loathsome place, wasteland. God's going to take us to a place that is deserted and is a wasteland. Barnes' commentary states, "It means a desert place, a place where there are few or no inhabitants, a place, therefore, where one might be concealed and unknown, remote from any habitations or observations of other people. God will protect and nourish the church." He said he's going to take us to a place, or take his church to a place. And again, I don't think it's a deserted island somewhere beautiful and tropical. The children of Israel had to go through quite a bit in their exodus and their fleeing as well. So what do we do with all the information that we've been given on the four horsemen? On the first four seals that are opened up, that fifth seal is the Great Tribulation, which is talked about here, where that's where the church is finally taken away so they don't have to suffer through what is going on in the world. What do we do with that information? And what is it that we should be doing? It was already covered earlier in the message, doing the physical things, the things that we need to do to prepare, having an earthquake kit in an area where we live. And in fact, where I live here, there are three fault lines that come together. We have the San Andreas, but there's two others that come together right here as it heads up to Barstow. Three different fault lines come together. So is it probable or possible that there's going to be an earthquake at some point here? We've already had quite a few earthquakes here. But is it possible to have a major earthquake? Yes. So to have an earthquake kit or have something prepared to, if something happened, what would you do? Would you have the basic necessities that you need? Do you have a first aid kit? Those are physical things that we can do. It was also mentioned the meditation, the study, the prayer. Those things are things we should be doing. And we're told you should be doing this at the end of the age. You should be doing it all the time. But especially as we approach these things, there are certain things that we need to be doing. Number one is to watch. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Because not only does he tell us what is coming with these four horsemen and how they are those first four seals that are opening up, but in verse 32, Matthew 24 and verse 32. So he says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near." We see that happening. You see the trees blooming, see cherry trees blooming. You see all these buds coming on the trees now because it's getting warmer. He says, you know, because you're observing, you're watching, things are near. "So likewise, when you shall see all of these things, all the things that we've been going through, not just the four horsemen or the four seals that are opened, but when we look at earthquakes in diverse places, when we see all of these various things taking place, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day or the hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of, or in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage." They went on like life was normal. And so many people say, "I can't wait till life gets back to normal." Listening to comments or hearing things on the news or seeing it on the Nextdoor app, individuals say, "I just wanted to get back to normal." We've seen increases of individuals seeking out prophecy and other things on Life Open Truth. People are scared. They want to know what's going on. But that happened with 9/11. It got to a point where people are like frantic for biblical truth, biblical information. And when things got back to normal, that went away. So to see individuals now even doing the same thing, "I want to know more. I want to find out about the end of the age. I want to find out about prophecy. I want to find out about the seven last seals or the four horsemen or the great tribulation." It says they were eating, drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage. They want to get back to normal. They were living life as if nothing was taking place until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's saying it'll happen quickly. when we see things happening quickly, it has a little bit different meaning than it did 8-10 weeks ago. Things can happen quickly. I heard that when I was young and when I was a teenager and after I was baptized. Things can happen quickly. You have to be ready. Still have that same information given to us. We still have that same admonition to be ready, because it will come at a time and it can happen quickly. And now, so now with COVID-19, we saw how quickly stores can close. The shelves were stripped. We have to stay at home. That happened quickly. These things are going to happen quickly as well. And people who are unaware and they're not watching what is taking place will not see where this fits into the plan of God. It doesn't say it's going to be apparent to the world. It's apparent to those who are watching. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and one taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one taken and one left. Meaning it's going to happen quickly. And what's the point? Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you don't know when the hour of the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, if he had known there's going to be a thief and I'm going to keep my eyes out for it, he would have watched and would not have suffered the house to be broken into. Therefore, be you also ready. So it says, watch and be ready, for in such an hour that you don't think the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall find ruler over his house, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. There's an activity. There's something that is expected of us. We have to watch. We have to be ready. We have to be conditioning our mind, and we have to be preparing ourselves, not with a storehouse of food. While we may have to live 3.5 years, I'm not planning to live 3.5 years in a stay-at-home with canned food. I'm planning to be ready. That moves us to point number two. Pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. That's not living in fear, saying, please protect me, don't let anything bad happen to me. We're given that. In Luke 21, and Luke is another reference as we look at the Gospels and how they compare Matthew to Revelation, Luke and Revelation as well. It says, take heed, Luke 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. Exactly what he was saying about the story of Noah. Carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of the life. Things that aren't important become your normal that everybody wants to get back to. And he said, that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. It's saying it is going to happen so fast, it's like a snare. Boom, it's done. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It doesn't say pray that you'll be protected, that nothing bad happened to you. It says pray that you may be accounted worthy, meaning you have done what you should. You've been watchful, you've been praying, you have been overcoming, you've been developing your mind and using the spirit that God's given to you, that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things and stand before Christ. Can you stand before Christ now? And are you in a good position to do that? It's part of what this is saying. Watch therefore and pray always, and when he returns, you better be found so doing. Third, we can pray, as it says, not that your flight be not on the winter or the Sabbath day. Not in the winter or the Sabbath. So he says, you can pray about it. After the four seals, the first four seals, and after the four horsemen, is that fifth seal, the great tribulation. And it's what is next for mankind. As these four writers are writing together and things get worse, the next thing to happen on the scene, if the first four have been opened and the fifth seal, the Great Tribulation, the 3.5 years has not happened yet, that's the next seal to be opened. Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and whoever reads, let him understand. Indication that individuals will be watching. Therefore, when you see, when you know and you're watching for those things, then you see it happen. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which be on the housetop come not down to take anything from his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. That means something that is happening very, very quickly. Verse 19, woe to them that are with child and to those who are nursing in those days. And verse 20, but pray. Again, another admonition, watch and pray. Watch and be doing. Watch and be prepared. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because he says that seal, the fifth seal, is going to be opened. Then shall be great tribulation, such was not such that since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. The world will have no other time like what is going to take place in the great tribulation. And I doubt we can even imagine what it's going to be like, because we are in a time, he says, it's not the end yet. There's more to happen. There's much more to happen. What we have seen is only a foretaste of what is going to happen to this earth. The things that we have seen in the world today are only a foretaste of what is coming during that great tribulation. The good news is that with the completion of those remaining three seals that have not yet been opened, Christ is going to return and establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Satan's going to be bound, and then there'll be 1,000 years of prosperity under the rule of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. The seals that we read of in the book of Revelation have been opened. Four seals have been opened. We're to be watchful. We're to realize that these four horsemen have been riding, and now they are all riding together, and things are culminating. The fifth seal is about to be opened. Will you and I be prepared?